Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us for the October 2019 NYSAR webinar. We are scheduled for a 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. webinar today. We kindly ask everyone that you mute your mics so that we avoid any background noise and interruptions. The title of today's webinar is Update on Federal Policies Impacting Rural Health. And our welcome guest speakers are Mr. Thomas Bain, Regional External Affairs, and Ms. Tamika Lyons, Rural Health Coordinator. And both are with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services in the New York Regional Office. As a member of the Regional External Affairs team, Mr. Bain develops relationships with key stakeholders across CMS programmatic areas. He is the team lead for the Regional Office's monthly public access TV show called CMS and You. Mr. Bain is also a licensed social worker in the state of New York. Ms. Lyons has been with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services for 35 years. She has worked in the Survey and Certification Division, Health Plans Branch, amongst several other entities in CMS, and is presently working with Division of Financial Management and Fee-for-Service Operations, where her role as a health insurance specialist entails her working on issues dealing with beneficiary enrollment, entitlement, and Medicare premiums, as well as her being the new Rural Health Coordinator for Region 2. In a moment, I'll be turning it over to Mr. Bain and Ms. Lyons to start the presentation. However, I wanted you to know that after the presentation, they will be both entertaining questions from webinar participants. As they are speaking, please feel free to click the chat button at the bottom of the screen, and please feel free to type your questions in the chat window. And when the presentation concludes, I will facilitate the Q&A portion with the remaining time available. One more quick reminder to please mute your mics. Any background noise and voices that are currently going on, we can all hear, so please mute your mics. And now I will turn it over to Mr. Bain and Ms. Lyons, and thank you again for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thomas Bain from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and I'm joined by my colleague, Ms. Tamika Lyons. And we're very glad to be partnering with the association on this webinar today. So we will be providing some updates from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but we also hope that it is a reintroduction for you to the New York Regional Office so that you know where to connect back to. And I think, you know, over the next few months, we would be very interested in follow-up conversations with you as well to hear from your point of view what is happening in rural health in New York State. So thank you all for joining today's webinar, and we will just get started. In terms of context for what is happening in our healthcare system at large across the nation, you know that there is continuous change and evolution in CMS programs. And at the department level of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, there is a real focus on creating a healthcare system that is accessible, of high quality, affordable, and really connected to a concept of innovation. And so CMS, as you know, the reimburser for so much of our healthcare system, has taken a lead in how we can work with our partners like yourselves to improve the entire healthcare delivery system. And part of this is reducing burden for clinicians as well as approximately $800 billion, or one-third of total national health expenditures. So there is quite a lot of funding involved in our healthcare system. 800 billion is a large number that is probably hard for us even to imagine ourselves. CMS covers over 140 million people in our Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP programs, and that represents about one in three Americans. So not only is the size of the program, the amount of funding involved, but also in a very personal way, one out of three people across the nation is enrolled in one of our programs. The Medicare program itself pays over $1.5 billion in payments per day. And I'll just kind of close out so that you can kind of understand the real size and scope of CMS's responsibility in our healthcare system. With our contractors, we process over 1.2 billion fee-for-service claims and answer about 75 million inquiries annually. So this is all just context for today's conversation, so that you can understand what the department's role is, what CMS is kind of situated to do. And I want to now touch upon what CMS's strategy really is. And this is all about putting people first. And so when we're thinking about putting people first, we're working to empower both the patients and their clinicians to really drive the decisions about their healthcare. This is also an era of partnering with states and allowing them flexibilities to test out new ideas, and also supporting local leadership who knows their health environment best. We are also very much in support of innovative approaches that are touching upon these areas of quality, accessibility, and affordability. And I'm sure several of you as healthcare providers or administrators have been involved in your own way in improving the quality, accessibility, and affordability of healthcare for the people that you serve. And overall, we're looking to improve the customer service experience of all of the customers of CMS. And this includes stakeholders like yourself. And that's why we're so glad to be able to work with the association today to share this webinar with you. Now, you'll be seeing on your screens a wheel that represents the strategic priorities for 2019 for the agency. And I'm not sure if you are able to zoom in, but there are many priorities. But if you look at the outside band first, that's the lightest blue, you'll see there are really three groupings of priorities. This includes focusing on results, right? That we are paying for healthcare that improves outcomes, that we are empowering patients, and that we are unleashing innovation. So those are kind of the three stools that we're working on in terms of our priorities for 2019. But you'll notice again that patients are at the center of our priorities, and we never lose sight of that. You may not be able to see on your screen the inside wheel, but these are some of the areas that we are going to discuss today, which includes rethinking rural health, of course. We're going to be talking about e-Medicare, fighting the opioid epidemic. We'll be talking a bit about fostering innovation and a little bit about My Healthy Data as well. So you are going to get a wide range of updates from us, but I just wanted to situate the department, the agency, and our priorities. And so how do we achieve these priorities? This slide now represents the authorities that CMS has by statute and law. And so you'll see we have the Innovation Center and the Medicaid program, which are testing out new things. We, of course, have survey and certification for those of you that work in facilities are very, you know, a lot about. There's the clinical standards, quality improvement, of course, quality measurement. And I'm going to end on this concept of the value-based purchasing. This is really where the fee-for-service program has been headed and will continue to head, is that we are looking to drive value into our healthcare system through the Medicare program. And you can understand that the amount of dollars that were referenced earlier and one in three Americans being covered by one of our programs, this direction will have a large impact across our healthcare system. In terms of how we are rethinking rural health, CMS has placed a very large priority on improving the health of rural Americans through this Rethinking Rural Health initiative. And I'll just pause for a moment to remind people to mute their lines. We're getting a little bit of feedback and background, which may be making it difficult for people to hear. So thank you for being on mute. The agency has developed both policies and programs that reflect the needs of rural Americans and the need in rural America to have access to the same types of high quality care, the same types of support for rural providers, address some of the unique elements that only happen really in rural settings, including some of the economic drivers, and strive to reduce the overall unnecessary burden of providers and beneficiaries. Of course, CMS is not doing this alone. One of our major federal partners is the Health Resources Service Administration, or HRSA, and we are working quite closely with them on rural health initiatives. But we're also working with states as well as local partnerships. And we hope that you consider yourselves now a partner of the regional office, and we look forward to future conversations with you. We know that there can be challenges in rural health settings, and so we are open to discussing with you what are some of the ways that CMS can leverage our authorities and programs to help you serve the people that you do. And that was background for our presentation today. If you're looking at our screen now, this is our agenda for today's topics. Ms. Tamika Lyons will be discussing the rural health strategy, telehealth expansion, how CMS is addressing the opioid crisis, and then I'll bring some updates related to the Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program, the new Medicare card, e-Medicare, and innovation. But again, thank you all for joining us today for this webinar, and I will now turn it over to Ms. Lyons.
Thank you, Thomas. CMS Rural Health Strategy. CMS recognized the many obstacles that rural Americans face, including living in communities with disproportionately higher poverty rates, more chronic conditions, and more uninsured and underinsured people. The goal of our Rethinking Rural Health initiatives are to develop programs and policies that ensure rural Americans have access to high quality care, support rural providers and not disadvantage them, address the unique economics of providing health care in rural America, and reduce unnecessary burdens in a stretched system to advance our commitment to improving health care outcomes for Americans living in rural areas. Here are the five objectives of the strategy. We consider the strategy a living, breathing document. One, apply a rural lens to CMS programs and policies. Two, improve access to care through provider engagement and support. Three, advance telehealth and telemedicine. Four, empower patients in rural communities to make decisions about their health care. Five, leverage partnerships to achieve the goals of the CMS Rural Health Strategy. We will continue to leverage and rely on partnerships and collaborations with our federal colleagues and stakeholders. Many of you are on the webinar today, and we want you to help us implement this strategy. Telehealth utilization in Medicare. CMS analyzed Medicare fee-for-service claims data and found use of telehealth increased between 2014 and 2016, although the overall rate of adoption is still very limited. Increasing access to telehealth services under Medicare and Medicaid is another way for us to support patients living in rural communities. We found significant growth in utilization among the oldest populations, beneficiaries 85 years and older. We know there are provider shortages, so CMS continues to add and pay for services where providers can support patients, such as access to telehealth through their homes. Also, psychotherapy is among the services most commonly furnished through telehealth. We have found that there have been an increase in the use of telehealth over the last few years, but still very few beneficiaries use telehealth. Increasingly, psychotherapy is among services most commonly furnished through telehealth. The telehealth expansion plan. I'm not sure if any of you realize this, but for the very first time, starting in January 2019, Medicare began paying for virtual check-ins, meaning patients can connect with their doctors by phone or video chat. Also, for the very first time, we will be paying for virtual consultations between physicians and evaluations of remote pre-recorded images and videos. For example, a patient can now text a picture of a mole on their skin to a dermatologist for examination. Also, Medicare Advantage plans are offering innovative telehealth services as part of their basic benefit. On this slide, we're going to examine the virtual communication services and payments. Effective January 1st, 2019, RHCs can receive payments for virtual communication services when at least 5 minutes of communication, technology-based, or remote evaluation services are furnished by an RHC practitioner to a patient who has had an RHC billable visit within the previous year, and both of the following requirements are met. The medical discussion or remote evaluation is for a condition not related to a RHC service provided within previous 7 days, and the medical discussion or remote evaluation does not lead to an RHC visit within the next 24 hours or at the soonest available appointment. To receive payment for virtual communication services, RHCs must submit an RHC claim with the HCPCS code G0071. This is a virtual communication service code, either alone or with other payable services. Payment for G0071 is set at the average of the national non-facility physician fee schedule payment rate for HCPCS code G2012. This is a communication technology-based services. And HCPCS code G2010, a remote evaluation service code, and is updated annually on a physician fee schedule national facility payment rate for these codes. Now, the payment rate for this year is $13.69 per service. And since it's updated annually, I want you to take into consideration that next year the rate may be different. Next, we're going to look at general care management or regional health care management services. Effective January 2018, RHCs can receive payment for chronic care management, CCMs, or general behavioral health integration, BHI services, when 20 minutes or more of a CCM or general BHI service are furnished and HCPCS code G0511 is billed either alone or with other payable services on an RHC claim. Also effective January 1st, 2018, RHCs can receive payment for psychiatric collaborative care model, COCM services, when 70 minutes or more of initial psychiatric COCM services or 60 minutes or more of subsequent psychiatric COCM services are furnished, and a HCPCS code of G0512 is billed either alone or with other payable services on RHC claims. The payment rate for 2019 for this is $67.03 per patient per month. However, as I mentioned earlier, the payment schedules are updated every year, so next year it may be different. On this page, you can go for information on Medicare RHC program at the link that we have right here, or any questions on Medicare payments and policies at rhc@cms.hhs.gov. Now, as far as Medicare Advantage telehealth benefit, under proposed rule released October 26, 2018, and be in effect in 2020, CMS is proposing that Medicare Advantage enrollees will have more options for receiving telehealth services beyond what is otherwise available in the traditional program. Again, we want to increase flexibility for entities like Medicare Advantage plans that take accountability for total health care costs. The proposed changes for Medicare Advantage are a major step towards expanding access to telehealth services, because the rule would eliminate barriers for private Medicare Advantage plans to cover additional telehealth benefits for enrollees in Medicare Advantage plans. On this page, you can go to these links to find out the finalized policies, the fact sheets, and also the final rule. Next, we're going to look at how CMS is addressing the opioid crisis. As one of the largest payers of healthcare services, CMS has a vital role in addressing the opioid crisis and is focused on three key areas: prevention, treatment, and data. With prevention, we've managed pain using a safe and effective range of treatments or options that rely less on prescription opioids. For treatments, we're expanding access to treatment for opioid use disorder. And for data, we're using data to target prevention and treatment efforts and to identify fraud and abuse. CMS is implementing several policies in Medicare that put more controls under prescription or around prescription opioids. This is part of our effort to prevent people from misusing prescription opioids and developing a use disorder. This includes a new 7-day fill limit for acute pain for patients who are new to prescription opioids, a requirement for pharmacists to coordinate prescriptions across providers, and a new option for Medicare lock-in program that restricts high-risk patients to specific doctors and pharmacies, as required under the 2016 Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act. The new law further strengthens several of these efforts. CMS has worked with several states pursuing 1115 waivers that are focused specifically on ground-level solutions to address the opioid crisis, which have shown promising trends in initial implementation. CMS has also recently announced several demonstrations through our Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation that are focused on improving payments and delivery system to address behavioral health and opioid use needs for children, pregnant and postpartum women, and newborns. Now, on this slide, you see the different places that patients can go for more information on this opioid issue. I also have a link that I'm going to read to you that the providers can go to also. The link is https https://www.cms.gov/about-cms/story-page/reducing-opioid-misuse.html. I know that's a lot, and I'm sorry I didn't put that in the presentation, but if anyone needs that, they can email me, and I will send that off to them. And now I'm going to give it back to Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lyons. So I'll be briefly covering some additional topics, but thank you for those updates. What I'll start with first is the Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program. And what you see on the screen is a roadmap for how a supplier can become a Medicare supplier for this survey. The Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program came out of the Innovation Center. It's the only one so far that has met the threshold of both sustaining or improving quality and remaining at the same cost. So the Secretary of Health and Human Services was able, through that office's authority, to make it a new Medicare benefit. So this is really exciting and interesting because there isn't really a Medicare benefit quite like this. This is an intervention for an individual who is pre-diabetic to help them maintain both a healthy weight as well as gives them information about nutrition and exercise for maintaining a healthy lifestyle. What CMS is doing now is working with organizations across the country to try to help them to assess if they would be eligible and able to become a supplier for Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program, which we also sometimes just call MDPP. This originally was a CDC program, and many groups such as churches or clinics or nonprofit organizations have been implementing the CDC Diabetes Prevention Program for quite some time. This is really the MDPP is just the way that Medicare will reimburse for it. So what we're hoping is that there will be an increase in the number of MDPP suppliers, and we hope that yourselves as rural health providers we'll go to the website and see who is a supplier in my area that I could refer my patients who are pre-diabetic to. And there is both the email address as well as a website address for you to reach out to them for additional information. But I just wanted to put this on your radar as a new Medicare benefit. And we're hoping that there will be more and more suppliers so that you can have a robust network to refer people to. I'll also just briefly mention that you are probably aware that New York State is also looking to cover the diabetes prevention program on the Medicaid side, and I think there will be more information on that in the months to come. So that will be a really great thing for New York State to have both Medicare as well as Medicaid covering this program. And then, you know, because it's such a large program, sometimes private health insurance plans will follow the lead that they is set by either Medicare or Medicaid. I think many of you, if not all of you, are aware that there was a new Medicare card mailed out to all Medicare beneficiaries. And as you are aware, the old Medicare card had, for the most part, people's Social Security number as their Medicare number. For years, advocates have been highlighting this as an issue related to both identity theft and fraud, that it just wasn't secure in a modern era for people to have their health insurance number be the same as their Social Security number. So CMS listened and developed a new card, as well as a new kind of random number of letters and numbers for people. So it is no longer the Social Security number. And also, just as a provider, as you're getting these new cards, hopefully you are using the new number and not the old number, because starting January 1st of 2020, The old number will not be able to be used for billing purposes, and you will only be able to use the new number. So now, as we're getting into the end of 2019, I hope that you are ensuring that all of your Medicare patients, that you have their new number on record. If not, begin to update those records and get ready for 2020. Another feature of the new Medicare card is that if individuals have a MyMedicare.gov account, they can print a new card at their home and with their own printer. So overall, Social Security number was removed. We mailed these out to millions of Medicare beneficiaries across the nation, and the new number is unique to each individual. I'm hearing just a little bit of background noise, so if you could remember to mute your lines, that would be appreciated.
Also, Thomas, I would just like to let them know that if they have any patients who have not received their cards or need replacement cards, they can contact me because I can distribute it.
That's wonderful. So Tamika is a resource in many, many ways for you, and her phone number and email will be at the end of the presentation. So not only is she our rural health coordinator, but she also does a lot of work related to Medicare fee-for-service, including the new Medicare card. So thanks for that reminder, Tamika. What I'm going to talk about next is My Healthy Data. So the My Healthy Data initiative is all about empowering patients so that they have more control over their healthcare data. You can imagine that individual beneficiaries or patients sometimes feel a bit distanced from their own medical data, as if it is not something that is theirs. So Medicare is working to allow them to have increased access to their own data. And this really falls under the Blue Button 2.0 initiative as a key part of My Healthy Data. And so what is the Blue Button 2.0? What is happening with Blue Button 2.0 is that we are partnering with developers of apps so that they can help to create tools that enable Medicare beneficiaries to connect to their own claims data and to see how that can be accessed in a user-friendly way through an app or service. So the Blue Button API, or Application Programming Interface, contains 4 years of Medicare Part A, B, and D data for 53 million Medicare beneficiaries. So with this data, Medicare beneficiaries will have full control over how their data can be used and by whom, and they will have to authorize its use through MyMedicare.gov. This data reveals a lot of information about a beneficiary's health and could be very useful to them. So this includes what is the type of their Medicare coverage, what are their drug prescriptions, what is their primary care treatment like, as well as the cost. So the agency is interested in how liberating this data or allowing beneficiaries to have increased access to it will drive innovation throughout the entire healthcare system and encourage the creation of new tools and solutions that will allow the healthcare system to deliver a strong value to the patient themselves. So by giving beneficiaries access to their claims data, we are also hoping to foster competition amongst technology innovators who serve Medicare patients. And this also links to concepts like precision medicine so that we can better understand Medicare beneficiaries and their data. Of course, everything is so much about data-driven interventions these days, and Medicare is right along with it. So what are some examples you may be asking yourself? This could include personal health record applications that will let beneficiaries collect their health information from the different providers that they see. So that's all in one place, right? Somebody seeing their primary care doctor and then a specialist and another specialist. Sometimes it's hard for them to have all of their information in one place. This could also potentially be used for health plan matching applications, which will enable beneficiaries to use their claims history to determine what plan is best for them based upon their prior history. It can also be about research applications that can use the beneficiary contributed data for research purposes. And I think that just kind of gives you a flavor of where this could potentially go. And the use of these API-driven technologies has been growing, especially in the healthcare sector, I would think, and especially since the Blue Button Developer Conference, which CMS held in August of 2018. We've seen that the number of developers who are trying out the API has increased more than 45%. So this is now about 1,100 developers that are using this synthetic data. And these developers represent more than 750 organizations across the United States. So we're continuing to build out these relationships and work with developers on how they can help Medicare beneficiaries have increased access to their data and how it can improve the healthcare system overall. And so in a related topic is, of course, how the agency is working with the Office of the National Coordinator to promote interoperability so that there can be alignment across our programs and that patients can have a more seamless experience of the healthcare delivery system. So there's a lot going on in the CMS world, a lot with data, and we hope that you are paying attention to it. And I'm sure many of you yourselves are intersecting with this work in many different ways. And Tamika and myself are very interested in hearing from you in the future about what those innovations look like from a rural health perspective. I also just wanted to briefly mention that we are now in the Medicare open enrollment period. It began on October 15th. And one of the biggest things with this open enrollment period is that Medicare has redesigned our Plan Finder. Plan Finder is a website or tool or portal that Medicare beneficiaries use to compare their options for health insurance coverage for 2020. So they can look at Medicare Advantage plans, they can look at prescription drug plans, they can assess both the costs as well as the coverage to find a plan that meets their needs best. The reason that I'm bringing up the new Plan Finder is one of the biggest changes from the old Plan Finder to the new Plan Finder is that people can now securely log in with their My Medicare account. When they do this, they will be able to see what were their prescription drugs that Medicare billed over the last 12 months. And so this will really give an individualized list so that when somebody is comparing things like Part D plans, they can see the cost for their specific medications that were billed to Medicare over the past 12 months. And they can, of course, modify this list, but it's just another way of giving people access to their own data in a safe and secure way. I also just wanted to mention that CMS also created a What's Covered app that people can use on their phone or their tablet. And this lets people know what Original Medicare covers. It's available in English and Spanish, and it's just a tool where somebody can type in something and see does Medicare cover it or not. So CMS is embracing technology, and we are moving further and further in that direction. Our last topic for today's webinar is just around innovation. And we think that there are some real opportunities in terms of innovation in rural healthcare settings. And this would be another topic that we would love to have a fuller conversation with all of you about to hear. How are you innovating within a rural health setting? And so innovation is largely being driven at this point from the CMS Innovation Center. And because in the beginning we talked about what a large impact CMS has on the healthcare system, the amount of dollars spent as well as the amount of lives covered, really when you're looking at what we used to call really Medicare fee-for-service, we're now almost really calling it value-based purchasing, right? And because it's a Medicare program within CMS, there is the ability to test out new designs and new ways of paying for things and really drive that value. And there are different innovators, different hospital systems, different clinics, even at the provider level, that are working to see, can we embrace this innovation? Can we get more value for the amount of money spent in our healthcare system? And you can just see some of the examples up on the screen of where there are some innovative models happening in rural health settings. And you'll see this synergy between what's happening at the Innovation Center and the addressing the opioid epidemic, which Tamika already touched upon, but there were models that came out of the Innovation Center that focused on maternal opioid misuse or even children. So these are really interesting. The other one that is listed here as a new innovation model in the recent, is what we're calling ET3, or emergency triage, treatment, and transport. And this is really like a community EMS model. So, there have been people that have been testing things out on their own, and now there is a house within CMS that can be the home for them. So just wanted to briefly mention some of those models for you. I think, we have to also mention the work that's happening in maternal health care in rural communities. We know that this is a major topic of conversations that you are probably heavily involved in, and CMS is also part of these conversations, but at a national level. So we came out with a brief about maternal health in rural settings, as well as a video that people can watch and just kind of, sometimes personalize what is happening so that people can hear an individual person's story. And this is a real, maternal health is a challenge across the nation, but there are unique challenges related to rural communities. Within CMS, we also have an Office of Minority Health, and they take the lead for us in championing health equity across our programs. And I just wanted to mention them as another resource for you when you're thinking about healthcare disparities, and of course, rural communities would fall within that. But we also know that rural communities also experience an intersection of different types of inequities. So what the framework is that first we are working through our Office of Minority Health to increase an awareness that disparities exist, right? That's kind of the first step. And this connects back to that idea of data, which was so important in the opioid response and many other areas of CMS's work, establishing that these disparities exist. And then once you have the data to show that there is a disparity, we are working with partners, hospitals, clinics, providers across the country. What works to address those disparities? How can we both collect solutions and also share them with like-minded providers? And so that really takes us to action, right? That we are making an impact towards health equity across CMS programs. And just another interesting tool that I wanted to highlight for you that comes out of our Office of Minority Health is a mapping Medicare disparities tool. And I hope that you will take the time to go to that website and play around with the different features. It's quite robust in the amount of data that you can analyze, and it maps it all for you automatically. So you can see right here, I focused in on New York State, and you can look either at the state level or the county level. So for here, I was looking at county level, and you can see that I selected for the condition diabetes. And you can just see that darkest blue represent 28 or more percent of the Medicare population having diabetes. So you can see, there's different parts of the state that have a higher percentage of people with diabetes than others. And what can we think? Is there a way to use this data to talk about rural health in New York State and kind of look towards solutions? So we just wanted to share some ways that you can kind of connect back into CMS for additional information. Of course, we have the open door forums, including a specific one for rural health. As providers, you would be well aware of the Medicare Learning Network, and I hope you're signed up for their e-newsletter, MLN Connects. I think it's also important that you, as rural health providers, think of ways that you can make your comments during public comment phases for requests for information from our agency or other ways like that. And of course, you can plug into things like the CMS listserv or even our Office of Minority Health listserv and just continue to get those types of updates. And I'll also mention that here in the regional office, we've started to create a monthly newsletter because we know people get a lot of emails. So every month we kind of summarize in one place all of the major things that have been updates over that month. So if you'd like to get on our local New York regional office monthly newsletter, let us know and we can add you to that distribution as well. So we'll turn it over, we'll turn it back to Karen for some questions, and I'm just going to put up our contact information for you so that you can reach out to us. And again, just to remind you that Ms. Lyons is our new regional rural health coordinator and is a great resource and contact for you in terms of rural health within the New York office. But thank you all for listening to us. And I think we covered a lot of areas in a short span of time. And of course, each of these topics could be their own webinar themselves. But Karen, I'll turn it back to you to see if there were any questions that came through the question box.
Thank you both, Ms. Lyons and Mr. Bain. I'm going to ask you to send me your PowerPoint. We will provide that on the NYSAR website along with the recording of today's webinar. I do not see any questions in the question box. Is there anybody who's connected via the phone who doesn't have access to the question box or who's connected otherwise that would like to ask a question of Ms. Lyons and or Mr. Bain? And remember, if you're muted, you'll need to unmute yourself. Any questions or comments? I'll give you a few moments just to unmute yourself.
And Karen, as we're waiting for people maybe stewing over some of the many topics that we covered, I just wanted to also emphasize, we really hope that this webinar is not just a way to disseminate information with the participants, but also develop relationships. So other offices from CMS have done things like road trips to meet with rural providers, or phone calls or listening sessions. And we would love to replicate that here in New York as well. So if there are any providers on the line that would like to kind of share with us your experiences related to rural health, we would or just being part of the Medicare or Medicaid programs, of course, we would love to connect with you and have more in-depth conversation as well. So we hope we can stay in touch that way as well.
Absolutely.
All right, Ms. Lyons, any other thoughts before we wrap up? Or it doesn't seem like we have any questions.
No, there is one thing that I forgot that I wanted to let them know that CMS is implementing one provision from the Substance Use Disorder Prevention that promotes opioid recovery and treatment. It's called support.
Right.
For patients. And basically, that's the basically, that's they're proposing to remove the originating site geographic requirement,
right,
and add the homes of individuals as a permissible originating site for telehealth services furnished for purposes of treatment of a substance use disorder or a co-occurring mental health disorder for services furnished on after July 1st. And that's something that the president signed in October. Yes, he signed October 24th.
And that's a pretty big deal, yeah, especially in rural health communities where the originating site kind of part of Medicare, right, telehealth has been kind of a challenge. So,
exactly.
You know, connecting into responding to the opioid crisis and substance use disorders, I think that's a great thing to put on their radar. Thank you. All right, Karen, if there's no other questions, is there anything else that you wanted to share with the group?
No, I just wondered, Ms. Lyons, before you send the PowerPoint presentation, that long link that you read off, I wondered if you could just paste that into the PowerPoint or maybe just include it in the email so I can make sure everyone accurately receives that.
Yes, I will. I can actually add that to.
Right now, yeah.
You want to add it right now?
Yeah, we can add it and send it.
Yes, we'll add that right now.
All right,
okay,
wonderful.
Well, thank you so much.
Our next NYSAR webinar will be the 21st of November. They are scheduled for the third Thursday of November. Same time, same connection, and we will get the information out on that as well. Thank you again for connecting everyone, and we look forward to the next webinar in November. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you so much.